Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Celebrating the appearance day of Sriman Nrisimha, we will read a verse from the fifth canto, chapter 18. The residents of Jambudvip offer prayers, and this is a prayer recited by Prahlad Maharaj. Whenever you think of Lord Nrisimhadev, you must always think of Prahlad. Because actually, Lord Nrisimhadev did not so much appear in this world to kill Hiranyakashipu. He appeared because of affection for his devotee Prahlad. So when you think of Lord Nrisimha today, think of two things, which are both inconceivably transcendental and purely spiritual. First of all, think of Nrisimha's terror. Ugram Viram Mahavishnam Dravam Tan Sarvato Mukam Nrisimham Bhishanam Bhadram Mityur Mityum Namamyam. We offer our obeisances to Lord Nrisimhadev, who is fierce, courageous, and the all-pervading Vishnu. His effulgence is so dazzling on all sides, to all directions, no matter which way you look at him. There's that dazzling effulgence. He is terrifying, as well as auspicious. And he is the death of death itself. So how can such inconceivable terror also be associated with inconceivable affection? That is Sriman Nrisimha or Nrisimhadev, Narahari, Nikeshani. His names indicate his inconceivable rupa, his form, half man, half lion. This form completely bewildered Hiranyakashipu, who thought he knew everything. He thought he had seen it all. When Nrisimhadev appeared from the pillar, Hiranyakashipu did not think, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't have that greatest fortune. He thought this is some kind of strange beast that has been produced by someone's karmic activity. In other words, he thought Lord Nrisimha was a material phenomenon produced by the combination of the modes of nature. Some living entity performed heaps of pious activities and got this form as half man, half lion. Even though no one had ever seen it before, it still was a product of karma. No doubt Hiranyakashipu was thinking about himself and how he developed his mystic powers through material activity, performing severe austerities to please Lord Brahma, who, as you know, gave Hiranyakashipu what Hiranyakashipu thought was the sum total of immortality. So you can understand why Hiranyakashipu would think in this way. I've done inconceivable, extraordinary karma. So where did this half man, half lion come from? He must come from karma. That's all that there is, really. Nrisimhadeva, excuse me, Hiranyakashipu knew that the demigods worship Vishnu. And he accepted, of course, that Vishnu exists. But his vow was to kill Vishnu. He just considered Vishnu and even Vishnu's abode to just all be a different part of the material reality. He considered that Vishnu was being bribed by the demigods, by the devatas, just like you bribe a child with a sweet. So he did recognize that there is this authority figure called Vishnu that the demigods are always bribing. But we're not going to listen to him. In fact, he vowed, I will kill Vishnu. I'll cut off his head, and with the blood that comes from my killing Vishnu, I will appease my brother, Hiranyaksha, who was killed by Vishnu. In this way, I'll pay my debt. So this was Hiranyakashipu's calculation. What is this? Jumping out of the pillar. First of all, he couldn't believe that Prahlad was seeing something in the pillar, right? What are you looking at, Prahlad? Why are you pretending you see someone there? Why are you pretending that your Vishnu is there? Everyone knows there's nothing but a pillar, a column, that's all. It's just stone. Hiranyakashipu made his scientific proclamation, his proclamation of materialistic science. Prahlad, if your supreme personality God is everywhere, why can't I see him? Because I can't see him, that means he doesn't exist. It all makes sense, doesn't it? Seeing is believing. That's the proposition of the age of Kali. No one thinks first that my vision is so limited. I can't even see what a cat sees. No, seeing is believing. Everything has to be grossly apparent to your material senses, or else to your technologically extended material senses. So everything has to be right up front. Especially, everything has to be so that you can get your hands on it. Then you know. So this was Hiranyakashipu's empiricism. His, what would be called today, his philosophy of naturalism. Supposedly, naturalism in the philosophical world means that there's nothing beyond material nature. That's natural. So they call that naturalism. There is no spiritual spooky stuff. There is just matter. Isn't that natural? So we call this philosophy naturalism. So Hiranyakashipu was the best of the naturalists. Prahlad, you talk about someone more powerful than me. Where is he? Let's perform a scientific experiment. Prahlad, enter my laboratory and we'll make a test. Of course, we already know the outcome. But we'll apply your hypothesis, Prahlad. Your hypothesis is that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere. So I say, produce him. Let's see him. And then, because Hiranyakashipu already knew the answer to his experiment, he already knew the outcome, he said, and once we demonstrate that your Supreme is not everywhere, he's not in this pillar, then what am I going to do? How will I conclude the experiment? I will cut off your head. He's telling his own son that. Meanwhile, what is Prahlad seeing? He's looking at the pillar and seeing Lord Nrisimhadeva peeping out from the pillar, encouraging him. Yes, Prahlad, I'm here. I'm ready for action. Hiranyakashipu didn't see that. Therefore, with great confidence, with great materialistic scientific confidence, he struck the pillar. And he got the shock of his life. At the very minimum, the shock of his life. First, there was a sound that cracked the whole universe, terrified everyone, even the devatas. Lord Nrsingadev first appeared by sound, letting you know that Atat Sri Krishna Namaji Nabhavin Krayamindri. Seva Mukhi Jivadal Swayameva Spratyada. The Lord appears to you through sound. When you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you are directly having the darshan, the sight of the Supreme Lord. Krishna is coming to you through your ears. So if you're going to be a genuine bhakta, you have to become accustomed to seeing with your ears. Whereas materialistic life, especially in the age of Kali, makes you so focused on your eyes. What are my eyes seeing? Seeing is believing. You won't know this, but I'll say it. Reminds me of a popular song when I was a little kid. I want a love I can see. That's the only kind of love that means a thing to me. I don't want the kind of love you have to tell me about. That kind of love I can sure do without. I've got to see it. I've got to get my hands on it. Then it's real. This is the age of coming. So, how are you going to apply that syndrome to bhakti? I want a love I can see. I want praying that I can see. Well, what are you trying to see with? You're trying to see with your impure, polluted senses. Bhakti means to purify your senses. And the more your senses are purified, the more you can detect the spiritual reality. Gradually, the Hare Krishna mantra becomes sweeter. Gradually, prasad tastes better. Yes, you can look forward to that. All your senses become enlivened through bhakti. That's the result of a career in bhakti. But are we so willing to dedicate our life for that? Or are we so short-term? This is Kali Yuga. Everything is short-term in the age of Kali. Yes, last year I was enthusiastic in bhakti, but now it's this year. No commitment, no duty. That's the hallmark of the Western world, and now it's affecting India. Indians think this is very advanced. Just follow what your senses say from year to year, and that way you can be happy. Why all this duty and commitment? Marry, divorce, whatever. It's your life. Bhakti means a lifetime of purifying the senses. Of course, even in the very beginning, you get a covered experience, a shadow experience of Krishna prayer. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You're tasting something. But if you want the taste to increase, that takes a lifetime commitment. You want to see? Well then, first learn how to see Krishna through the ears. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, you see a saintly person through the ears. What to speak of seeing Krishna? Now, is seeing Krishna through the ears in any way deficient? You would think so. Because this is Kali Yuga, we're so lusty with our eyes that we want to see everything with our plain mundane vision, and then And then that is real. I'm seeing it. Whereas real civilized life, real human life means I'm hearing. I have heard through authority. You say, well, what's the use of your hearing through authority? Have you seen? But hearing through authority is seeing. If you want advanced knowledge, then you have to have authorized knowledge. Authorized knowledge means coming from authority. You see through those words, and then you are in touch with genuine reality. Seeing Krishna through the ears is not a deficient experience. You get the full Supreme Personality of Godhead through your ears. You have to approach Krishna as he wants to be approached. You cannot say, come before my eyes, I want to see. The example Srila Prabhupada always gave. If you go outside at midnight and demand, I want to see the sun, I want to see the sun. Unless you're at the Arctic Circle or something at the right time of the year, you're not going to see the sun at midnight. The sun, so to speak, appears of its own accord. You may take a torch outside at midnight and shine the torch at the sky. Sun, appear, I want to see. Doesn't work. Similarly, seeing Krishna means see Krishna the way he wants to be seen. Isn't that real personalism? Isn't that real love? You can't just demand to someone who you're seeking to establish a relationship with. You can't demand, okay, just tell me everything. Just let me see everything right now. No, you have to please the person, and pleasing the person means to approach the person the way the person likes to be approached. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, only by bhakti can he be approached and understood. So that is why we're practicing bhakti, because we want to understand Krishna, we want to love Krishna. But you do things Krishna's way. So he says that he is non-different from his name. All the acharyas say Krishna is non-different from his name. He's present in his name. Atat Sri Krishna Nam Adi. First the name and then Adi. Everything else will follow. Form, qualities, pastimes. By focusing on the name, you're not getting a deficient experience. Krishna is there fully. Namachan Dhamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. He's there in full. And this is what we're daily endeavoring to realize. How the sound is the full presence of Krishna. If we actually know that, how careful and how enthusiastic we will be chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes as the years go by in bhakti, we become very slack and casual with our chanting. We offend devotees. We're just very mechanical. This behavior affects all kinds of relationships in material existence. And we apply that same mistake to Krishna, to hearing Krishna. Therefore, our life is a career focused on careful association with Krishna. That means careful association with the sound of Krishna's name. So, Lord Nisringadev first appeared through sound. Inconceivable sound. And then the form was visible. But even though the form is visible right in front of Hiranyakashipu, right in front of his eyes, he couldn't understand what he was looking at. just like those of you who are doing your, or have done your PhD work in some kind of science, you know so many things that are right before someone's eye, but the person doesn't see it or understand. Just like if you dare to study quantum mechanics, professors, lecturers say that it takes on the average 7 years to teach a student how to see the quantum reality, because it's so contrary to one's material conceptions. 7 years for initiation. You have to wait. But when it comes to Krishna, we're so cheap. Right now, Krishna, show me yourself. I'm serving you with everything I have. I'm so surrendered. And still you haven't appeared before me. Krishna is appearing all the time. That's his name. But we're so unfortunate. And Lord Chaitanya demonstrates what our attitude should be. I'm so unfortunate. I have no raga. I have no attraction for this, for Krishna appearing as nama rupa, as the sound. So Hiranyakashipu saw Lord Nrisimhadev, but he didn't understand what he was looking at. Oh, what is this? An amphibious beast. A beast produced by karma. Doesn't matter what it is, even though I've never seen it before. So what? Who can defeat me? I am unconquerable. So then he began to battle with Lord Nrisimhadev, whose hair shines with the effulgence of the moon. Yet at the same time, he has this beautiful hair with the effulgence of the moon, his teeth are as sharp as thunderbolts, and his nails are as sharp as thunderbolts. When Hiranyakashipu was killed by Nrisimhadev, he had no realization that this is the Supreme Personality of God. His mind was so passionate. Therefore, he took birth as Ravana. Because he was killed by the Supreme Lord, he attained untold opulence, but he did not achieve liberation. That liberation can only be offered by Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of God. Hiranyakashipu didn't have that opportunity, but he did take birth as Ravana with even more power, even more opulence. While we're thinking about Lord Nrisimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu, what about our own heart? This is what we can focus on. Hiranyakashipu, as Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse we will hear today, he is the perfect representative of materialistic life. He's the personification of material desire. He was completely dedicated to wealth and the comforts of the flesh. All the things people think are so valuable today. That was the lifestyle of Hiranyakashipu. So we should look at our own heart and see what is there, and beg Lord Nrisimha to please clean out our heart from all the trash. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in relation to this verse that we'll recite. He says that our mind is loaded up with imprints, impressions brought about by so much karmic activity in so many lifetimes. And so a devotee is praying that just as Lord Nrisimha dispatched Hiranyakashipu, similarly, may Lord Nrisimhadev deliver us Deliver our hearts, deliver our mind from material influence. And what is that material influence? The desire to be happy through material activities. What's wrong with that? This is our material conception of religion. Religion, dharma, should lead to kama. First artha, yes, economic prosperity, and then kama. Sense gratification. Happiness derived from material activities. That's the purpose of religious activity. Prahlad Maharaj is showing us something else about what is dharma. And Prahlad will be offered benedictions by Lord Nrsingadeva. Prahlad, it is my pastime to fulfill everyone's desire. In other words, certainly I will fulfill the desire of a devotee. Prahlad, ask me anything. Take liberation. You can take Lord Nrsingadeva's presentation of benedictions, the opportunity for benedictions to Prahlad. You can take it in different ways according to the Shastra. You can take it that Lord Nrsingadeva was trying to tempt him with material prosperity. Take it, Prahlad, take material prosperity. Or you can take it that he was offering Prahlad liberation from material existence, moksha. Or you can take it that Nrsingadeva was offering Prahlad the full liberation, become my associate in Vaikuntha. In all those cases, Prahlad declined. No matter how you take Lord Nrsingadeva's offer, material prosperity, ordinary liberation, or full liberation as an associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha, no matter which way you take it, Prahlad declined. Prahlad just wanted pure devotion. And as you read in Bhagavatam, Prahlad said to Lord Nrsinga, "You know my family background. I'm from a demoniac family. Please don't tempt me with these things. My natural propensity due to my family upbringing is to always flow toward material desires. So material prestige, material prosperity. Please, please, know my family tendencies. Don't offer me these things." Yet, Sanatana Goswami points out in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that even if you take it that the Lord is offering Prahlad to be his associate in Vaikuntha, still Prahlad declined. "I just want your service. Even if I have to spend countless lifetimes of being born again in the material world, it doesn't matter. Just give me your service." Again and again, Lord Nrsingadeva, Sanatana Goswami explains, again and again, "Take it, Prahlad, take it. Take prosperity, take liberation, take full liberation, take it, take it." And again, Prahlad declines. Underlying the point of pure bhakti. Teaching us the example of how to be a real devotee. And this is why Lord Nrsingadeva tells Prahlad, "You are the best example of my devotee." And Prahlad acknowledges that "You sent me into this world to demonstrate the behavior of a pure devotee. That's my mission that you gave me. That's why you're tempting me, because you want everyone to see what is the standard of pure bhakti." Now you might say, "Well, this example of Prahlad Maharaj is so far beyond us. All this talk about pure bhakti, we're just trying to get through the day and night these days. We're just trying to chant our rounds. We're just trying to follow the four rules. And yet we're hearing about Prahlad and Nrsingadeva, such a standard of devotion, which is unattainable. But just by hearing, you become purified. By hearing, you develop a desire. Oh, this standard of pure bhakti is so wonderful, even though it's so far beyond me. I wish one day, somehow, that could be me. And then what happens? Krishna's in your heart as super soul, Paramatma. He notices, oh, the smallest desire for pure bhakti is developing in you. I will help. Now, how Krishna helps is inconceivable to us. We'd like to know, what's Krishna going to do to me? But we're supposed to be like a little child dependent on mother. The little child is not thinking, what's mother going to do with me tomorrow? Are you thinking what your father will do to you next week? No. You just know. He'll take care of me, right? He loves me. Are you worried about whether your father can pay for the house that you live? No. Are you worried, can he pay for the car? No. What about dinner? Are you worried, will there be dinner tonight? No. So, see, this is no worries, mate. You've heard that mantra, no worries, mate? You're growing up in Australia, soon you'll know that mantra. In India, they do the head shake. In Australia, they say, no worries, mate. But everything is a worry in material life. But devotees are learning to take shelter of Krishna. Let's hear this prayer by Prahlad Maharaj. I'll recite it. The whole verse, if someone wants to give a go at reciting the whole verse, they can. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste Tejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vrajanaka Vajradamstra Kamasayan Randeya Randeya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyista Om Chom.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste Jasa Tejase Avir Avir Bhav Vajranaka Vajradamsra Karmashayana Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyishtha Om Shraum.
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste Jas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajranaka Vajranamastra Karmashayana Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhyam Abhyam Atmane Vriyeshta Om Shroom.
Prana, you want to chant?
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste Jas Tejase Radhi Adi Bhava Vajranaka Vajranamastra Karmashayana Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyishta Om Shom.
Good etiquette in chanting verses is always look and see if there's a senior Vaishnava who may chant first. And then you may chant. Vaishnavis?
Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste Jaste Jase Avir Avir Bhava Vajranaka Vajradamstra Karmashayana Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhuyishta Om Shaum.
Om.
Om.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Nama.
Nama.
My respectful obeisances.
My respectful
obeisances. Bhagavate.
Bhagavate.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narasimhaya.
Known as Lord
Nrisimha.
Nama.
Obeisances.
Teja,
teja,
say.
The power of all power.
Avi,
Avi,
or Baba.
Please be fully manifest. Vajanaka.
O
you who possess nails like thunderbolts.
Vajradamstra.
O you who possess teeth like thunderbolts.
Karma Ashayan.
Demoniac desires to be happy by material activities.
Randaya,
Randaya.
Kindly vanquish.
Chama.
Ignorance in the material world.
Grisa.
Kindly drive away.
Grisa.
Kindly drive away.
Oh,
oh
my Lord.
Swaha.
Respectful oblations.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness.
Abhayam.
Fearlessness.
Atmani.
In my mind.
Bhuyasta.
May you appear.
Om.
O Lord.
Chom.
The Bija.
Or seed.
Of mantras offering prayers to Lord Nrisimha. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy, we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39, Sanat Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. Yatpada pangaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gratitam udvratayanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piruta shroto ganasta paranam bhajavasudevam. Devotees always engage in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the gyanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruitive desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti, devotional service, as follows. Anya vilasita shunyam yena karmajana vritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desire. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrisimhadeva killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires should offer his respectful prayers to Nrisimhadeva as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. Translation again. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadeva, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Om Gyana Chimanandasya Gyana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshun Vintanyika Tazumai Shri Gurubhaya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a very appropriate prayer for any day, and especially Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance day. As I said in the beginning, we like to meditate on Nrisimha ripping apart Hiranyakashipu, like someone who kills animals and insects without discrimination. They can pick up a wasp and with their fingernails crush the wasp. So that's what Lord Nrisimhadeva did to Hiranyakashipu. And as the kids like to show in their dramas, Lord Nrisimhadeva ripping out the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu and pulling out his entrails. So this may be what comes to our mind first, but Prahlad Maharaj is asking you to meditate on Lord Nrisimhadeva, freeing you from material desires, and thus offer this prayer, just as Prahlad Maharaj did. We offer our prayers. Kindly appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance. Randeya, Randeya, kindly vanquish our ignorance. Grasa, grasa, kindly drive away all these dirty things in the heart, impressions from countless lifetimes. Just like we're praying to Lord Nrisimhadeva, just like you have the power with your nails and your teeth. You're the source of all power. Please use that to vanquish our demon-like desires. Karmashaya. What are those demoniac desires? We think, what's the problem? I just want to be happy through material activities. What's wrong with that? But Prahlad says, demoniac. And Prahlad should know. He's born in a demoniac family. He knows the nature of material desires by seeing it all around him. So what we consider innocent, what's wrong with a little desire to be happy through material activities? It seems so innocent and appropriate to us at times. But here Prahlad is teaching us to pray. Lord Nishade, with your nails and teeth, rid our hearts of karmasaya, the desire to be happy by material activities. The more we are attached to material life, the more fearful we'll be. Therefore, Prahlad says, Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Vuyashta Om Chom. Please appear in our mind. Make us fearless in the struggle for existence. You may say, well, at this moment you don't feel like you're struggling in existence. Although Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manashastani Priyani Prakatistani Karshati. You're struggling with the six senses, including the mind. You're struggling in the oppressive material atmosphere. At the present moment, you may say, oh, I don't feel like I'm being oppressed. But you're in a material body that has been imposed upon you, and that body is breaking down, it's deteriorating. And you're trying to be happy and satisfied and successful, while all the while the body is breaking down. This is struggle. And things are always happening beyond your control. Even in your own home, things happen beyond your control. What to speak of at work or anywhere else in material existence that you're endeavoring? So let's be honest and admit we are struggling. And then we can look for the solution to the struggle. We're struggling because of what's in our heart. And we're praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, please appear within our heart and drive away the ignorance. Do something about this demoniac desire to be happy through material activities. We think it's not a big deal. But Prahlad is teaching us that yes, it is a big deal, and we should endeavor to appeal, especially to Lord Nrisimhadev on his appearance day. We pray, please appear in our heart, please appear in our mind, manifest yourself, and drive away the ignorance. That will be the real victory. So, yes. Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. And we glorify him for that. And as we said in the very beginning, the real reason for his appearance was out of affection for Prahlad. Do you know how he showed affection for Prahlad? You know how all the devatas could not calm Lord Nrisimhadev. His roaring just went on and on, shaking the whole universe. Brahma couldn't do anything about it. Shiva was there, Lakshmi, Indra, no one could do anything about it. And then Lord Brahma pushed Prahlad forward. Lord Brahma put the burden on Prahlad. Prahlad, it's because of you that all this is happening. Please present yourself, do something about this. The Nrisimhadev has appeared because of you. Now you have to do something. So Prahlad fell at the feet of Lord Nrisimhadev. And then Lord Nrisimhadev picks him up off the ground and puts Prahlad on his lap, pats his head with his lion paw. And the Shastra says that Lord Nrisimhadev began to lick the whole body of Prahlad like a lioness grooms her cub. This is why another name for Lord Nrisimhadev is Nikeshari. In his affection toward Prahlad, he imitated the behavior of a lioness grooming her cub by licking the whole body. So whenever you see Nikeshari Das, you can remember. Don't lick him though. Not only did Lord Nrisimhadev put his paw on top of Prahlad's head and then lick his whole body like a lioness, but he also began to rock Prahlad back and forth. such affection. Yet, there's been such terror. So don't forget the affection of Lord Narasimha while you're meditating on his fierce appearance. Ugram Virum Mahavishnu. Remember his affection for Prahlad. All right, any questions? Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class.
Thank you for coming to class. I know you're a busy young lady.
You were saying that without ears we should see Krishna, but then when we look at Krishna without eyes, he looks so beautiful. So when we are chanting, I don't find any beauty in his holiness. So how do we understand this?
She's saying that when we look at Krishna like the deity, he's so beautiful, but when we're chanting, we don't experience that beauty. You're just a little girl, you're just beginning. When you read Nectar of Instruction, Sri Upadeshamrita, you'll hear Rupa Goswami explain that by carefully chanting every day, practice, the disease that blocks you from tasting the nectar of chanting Hare Krishna, that disease will go away by daily practice. So we're very glad that you're concerned about these things. How old are you?
Nine.
Yes. So as you get older, you'll desire to chant every day with attention. So it's good you're thinking about this. Everything has a beginning. Just like when you were born, did you just drop from the sky? No, your parents, they met each other, they married. It took some time. Do you remember just demanding somewhere up in the sky, I want to be born now, I want to be born. No, you have to wait. You have to wait for your parents to meet, to marry, to set up a home. All these things. So similarly, if you want to experience Krishna through chanting, it takes duty and commitment. And then the affection comes. But you don't know anything about duty and commitment, do you? Nah, too young for that. You do your schoolwork, yes? Why? Because what?
To get better.
To get better. So similarly, you chant to get better. Anything else? Yes.
Last time, I have two questions. You mentioned about how this Hiranyakashipu is representing our material desires that's within our hearts, and we're praying to Lord Narasimha Dev to remove them. While you're praying, what is something that we should be also doing in our daily practice?
Obviously, in our daily life, we're trying to refine our activities so that they give Krishna more pleasure. We're always thinking, what's the best thing I can do to serve Krishna right now? How can I do it in the best way? And then we're always praying. As Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us, please appear within our heart and drive away the ignorance. We're praying and we're endeavoring. Nothing else? Yeah?
Maharaj, if the pastimes of the Lord are going on eternally, then why Lakshmi Devi says that if she has never seen this form before? Lakshmi Devi says she hasn't seen this form before.
Right. That particular form she hadn't seen. Krishna can do anything. Yes, the Nrisimhadeva is a Leela avatar. He's appearing every day of Brahma. But he can still appear in a unique way. That's why Lakshmi Dev said that. I thought I'd seen it all, but this particular rendition, this particular appearance, in the particular way that Nrisingadev has appeared, I've never seen it before. You just want Krishna to do everything exactly the same every time. He doesn't even create the material world as Mahavishnu. He doesn't create the world the same way every time. There's always a variety of details.
So every day, the day of Lord Brahma is...
Leela avatars generally come once, yes?
So that's different, the way it's played out is different.
There always can be slight variations. Jai and Vijay don't fall from Vaikuntha every day of Brahma. They heard in Vaikuntha, in the court or royal facilities of Lord Narayan, Jai and Vijay heard about how the Lord would fight in the material world. So they had a desire. Oh, we want to be there. We want to experience that. So it's by their desire that they actually came. It's actually by their desire that they came to the material world. To give pleasure to the Lord by fighting as the greatest demons. And they really were into it. They weren't faking. They weren't acting. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was not faking being in Maya. He was really in Maya. Just so you could see how Krishna can bring you out of Maya by his instruction. Our problem is we're not faking being in Maya, we're really in it. Our aspiration is to be dominated by Yoga Maya, so we can dance with Krishna, sport with Krishna in the forest, treat Krishna as our son. For that, you have to be dominated by Yoga Maya. Anything else? Yes? You have to speak loudly, way back there.
Okay, yes, right. Prahlada Maharaj showed so much devotion. How was he so fortunate to get the devotion? What was his previous life?
He always remembered Krishna. He's Nitya Siddha. He said himself, I've appeared in this world to demonstrate the qualities of a pure devotee. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. So much so that when you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which you can, by the way, it's in stock now at the BBT warehouse. If you've read Prabhupada's books, that should be your next stop. So, Parvati was answering Narada Muni's question, who is the dearest devotee of the Lord? Narada Muni was searching everywhere to find out the best devotees. And so, he was talking to Parvati, Lord Shiva's consort. And she told him, Mahalakshmi is the best. And she began to glorify Mahalakshmi. And Narada Muni was about to just race off to Vaikuntha to meet Mahalakshmi, the consort of Lord Narayan, and ask her about pure devotion and congratulate her for being the best devotee. But then Lord Shiva took Narada Muni aside because he didn't want Parvati to hear. Even Lord Shiva has to be tactful in his home life. He took Narada Muni aside and whispered in his ear, actually, there is someone more dear than Mahalakshmi. Actually, Lord Shiva first told Narada Muni that besides Mahalakshmi and Vaikuntha, there is the original Mahalakshmi, Rukmini. And right now, Rukmini is appearing on the earth in Krishna Leela. So Narada Muni was about, first he was about to take off for Vaikuntha, then he decided to go to Dwarka. But that's when Lord Shiva took him aside and said, actually, it's not Mahalakshmi, it's not the goddess of fortune. And I have to whisper in your ear these things because Parvati is best friends with Mahalakshmi. If Parvati hears me glorifying someone else as the best devotee than Mahalakshmi, she'll tell Mahalakshmi, and this will cause quite a commotion. So I'm taking you aside and telling you these things. It's Prahlad. So, hearing from Lord Shiva about the glories of Prahlad, Narada Muni took off to find Prahlad, and Lord Shiva warned him, don't, when you meet him, don't glorify him. He'll be angry, he'll go away. But Narada Muni could not restrain himself. He was running to find Prahlad. Prahlad can be found on Sutala Loka because Bali Maharaj is there with Vamanadev and Lord Vamanadev invited Prahlad. You can spend some time on Sutala Loka. It's possible for Vaikuntha personalities to appear both in Vaikuntha and in the material world at the same time. Just like here you're reading about Prahlad's prayers. The residents of Jambudvipa offer prayers. He's speaking from a particular varsha, a particular part of Jambudvipa. So Narada Muni found Prahlad and he's running to embrace Prahlad. Now remember, Narada Muni is the Diksha Guru of Prahlad, but still Narada Muni is so overwhelmed. Oh, I've heard you are the greatest devotee. That's all he wants, is to meet the greatest devotee. While Narada Muni is trying to embrace Prahlad, Prahlad is trying to gather the Artik paraphernalia to offer his guru puja. But Narada Muni is embracing him, embracing him. And then Narada Muni begins to explain why Prahlad's the greatest devotee. Prahlad will be very embarrassed, of course, and he'll mostly refute all the glorification of Narada Muni. But then again, Prahlad is thinking, I can't refute it all. I can't counteract it all because after all, Narada Muni is my guru and it would be disrespectful for me to deny all that he's saying. So Prahlad kind of skillfully said, yes, I'm always there with the Lord, but I don't really know what's going on. Yes, the Lord appeared to me and killed Hiranyakashipu. But that was just for a moment. It was just like a dream. And besides that, I was so overwhelmed with shock at what's going on. The whole drama was so overwhelming with all the devatas around offering prayers, and the whole scene was saturated with such awe and reverence. I couldn't really experience so much affection, and it was just for a moment. So what's all this talk about my having the presence of the Lord all the time? It's not true. So Prahlad went on like that. And then Prahlad passed the buck, so to speak. He said, you're looking for the real devotee? The real devotee is Hanuman. So you want to find out all about this, you can If you've read Prabhupada's books, you can read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's very highly authorized presentation. You have it? Oh, very good. Last question. Yes.
Maharaj, in the prayers it says that we pray to Narasimha to please remove the desires, the materialistic desires from our heart. So at one place we are praying for this, and at the same time we make a lot of endeavor to have a better career and
your Grihastha you have to maintain. That's part of your ashram, but Krishna must be in the center. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his songs says, Krishna, I will certainly earn money to support your family. Your family. He says, I'll be like a dog sitting outside the door of your house to protect your family. So, household life means some economic support. Remember what my mother taught me, which I never had a chance to use? When I was 6 years old, she told me, you don't know? She said, always remember this, son. Romance without finance is a nuisance. Right, ladies? Never had a chance to use the advice, but... The men used to say in the old days that they were paying the cost to be the boss. They can't say that these days. The ladies are working too.
Then what do they mean by full surrender if we are still planning ourselves?
If you're still what?
Still want to plan ourselves, we want to have a planning for our different endeavors to make better future life. So what does it mean by full surrender then?
Live simply and comfortably. You're a householder, you have to have some flat or house to hold. Hasn't your wife told you that? Well, it's a mystery. Whether it's one room or a mansion, whatever comes without so much endeavor. Your main endeavor should be to hear and chant about Krishna. But because you're a householder, yes, you have to have some place. If you say to your wife, let us live under a tree, what will she say?
His wife will probably say, yeah, let's go.
You have a wife, you have a child, right? So you need some place. Live simply. Keep Krishna in the center. Endeavor according to your capacity. Some persons can deal with millions, billions of dollars without becoming entangled in complexity. Others can't do that. But it's the bhakti that counts. Sometimes householders, they look and see another householder. Oh, that householder has so much more money. But you have to honestly do what you can do. Endeavor in a way that doesn't involve you in complexity. And that varies from person to person. So you can't be the victim of social comparison. Look at those householders. They have big houses. I only have a tiny flat. I must get a big mansion too. You have to be able to see that maybe your, what householders call money karma, is different. But Krishna accepts the devotion regardless of your income level. So it's a challenge how to not be pushed by social comparison. You have to look at your own situation, what you can do to live simply, as comfortably as you can, while having Krishna firmly in the center. Bhakti is the greatest wealth. Just like our Nityananda Priya, he lives simply, he has such a saintly family, and he does so much outreach. He's a rich man. Very wealthy. Helping so many persons come to take shelter of Krishna. He has a saintly son and a saintly wife. Someone could say, well, where is his mansion? Does he have a car? Do you have a car? What is this? He doesn't have a car. Wait, this is right near the temple. What is the problem? His wife is always nicely dressed. She's not wearing rags. His son is playing mridanga in the temple. So that is real wealth. So live simply. Be as comfortable as you can while living simply, but the real wealth is devotional service. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.